Welcome to Catholic Sports View on Relevant Radio. A look at the athletes and coaches who shaped the Trinity League, exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here is your host, Bob Gibson.
Welcome once again to Catholic Sports View, where athletics meets faith. I am Bob Gibson, and later on in the show, we will hear from Les Lukacs. He is with PrepBaseballReport.com in the state of California, and we're going to preview Trinity League Baseball as it's getting started here. Speaking of things that are getting started, boys tennis is also a big-time spring sport, and we'll talk with Kirk Orahood. He's the head tennis coach over at J. Sarah High School. And in our next segment, we'll talk with Sean Zeitler. Speaking of another spring sport, track and field is getting going. We just talked to his dad, Dave, last week, and this week we'll talk to the head coach now, Sean Zeitler, over at Santa Margarita. But first things first, it is the end of basketball season, the playoffs right around the corner. Let's welcome back to the program our basketball expert, and that is Paul Westfall. Paul, thanks for joining us once again this week on Catholic Sports View.
My pleasure, sir.
Let's dive right into the Trinity League. I know it's one of your specialties. You cover it weekly, and the open division is pretty much Trinity heavy. A little surprised at all that three Trinity teams made the open division bracket?
No, not exactly. First thing, for maybe some that don't pay as close attention to it as others, this is the first year that they have gone down from 16 teams to just 8.
Correct.
Which I think is a marvelous move by CIF Southern Section. I don't think there were really 16 teams in the first few years that were worthy. And all that did was water down Division I, AA, that type of a thing. So I think 8 teams is about right. And 2 out of the Trinity, I think, were certain from the get-go, and that was Modern Day and Santa Margarita because of the, not only the talent they have, but the schedules that they played and acquitted themselves very nicely, even playing against nationally ranked teams, that sort of thing. The one that was kind of on the fence toward the later part of the year is St. John Bosco, because after losing their leading scorer due to an eligibility situation where Alpha Okoli had used up his 8 semesters of eligibility, he could not play after January. They struggled a little bit down the stretch with some tough losses in league, but I think it was between St. John Bosco and Oak Park, maybe Pasadena for the last spot. The committee decided to go with St. John Bosco, and I don't think that's a bad particular selection. But the problem with being the 8th seed is you get the honor of going and playing Bishop Montgomery.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah, so thanks. You know, I have good news and bad news. You know, first, the good news is you're in. Second, the bad news is you get to go and play the defending champ with the 40-game win streak.
Right. It's so true. And since you bring up Bishop Montgomery, let's talk about them a little bit. 25-0 going into the bracket here. Clear cut, number one, no doubt in your mind that they are the top team?
Yeah. Yeah, no question about it. They answered every challenge. And in particular, when they didn't even have all of their pieces, they haven't had Johnny Hunt, one of the best point guards around. They haven't had him except for maybe the last, I don't even think it's been 6 games, but at the most it's been the last 5 or 6 games. They haven't had him at all. And so if you were going to get Doug Mitchell, who I think just you could sit and argue that Doug Mitchell is the best coach in the Southern Section, and there wouldn't be too many people who you could advance in argument. With Bishop Montgomery being experienced, having played a really tough schedule in order to get them tournament ready, this is a really good team, and I think they are head and shoulders number one.
Yeah, it's true. Obviously, the experience last year, you know, winning the championship, winning a national championship a year ago, I mean, this was a team that has come right back and obviously up to the challenge of defending that championship.
Yeah, and they don't duck anybody. I mean,
no.
They have wins over the likes of, they have 2 wins over Westchester, who certainly is a 50-50 shot to win the L.A. City. It's either going to be Westchester or Fairfax going to win the L.A. City again. Bishop Montgomery's got 2 wins over them. They got a win over Sierra Canyon when they didn't have 2 of their 5 starters. I think Sierra Canyon, it might be the second or third most talented team in Southern California, and they beat them without 40% of their starting lineup. Now that they have all their pieces, it's going to take a supreme effort to beat Bishop Montgomery.
Paul Westfall joining us. Nobody's been covering basketball in Southern California. Well, maybe a couple people, but not many have been covering it longer than you, Paul. In Southern California, you're certainly dialed in. And as we talk about the Trinity League, you know, modern day, the loss to Bosco, kind of in the middle of league play there. Did that kind of rattle their cages a little bit and wake them up? Because they certainly seem to play a lot better following that loss.
Well, that's a really good point, and I think, a valid one. I think if you ask anybody at Modern Day, they would say, we don't ever learn anything from losing. But I think in addition to perhaps that may have brought them, a little more focused, they all got healthy at the same time as well. And I think this the team that when you look at Modern Day, six losses, I mean, that's like three seasons worth most of the time. But they went out and played an incredibly difficult non-league schedule, going out and playing nationally as they always do. Out of their six losses, and if you discount the Bosco one, five losses outside the state of California, four of those teams are in the top 10 in the country. So, the fact that Modern Day comes in with six overall losses, this is still a really good team who you're going to have to play really well and really smart, to beat. A modern day team that I think has the best chemistry that they've had as a team in years.
I'll frame this next question in because we've already beat to death the Bol Bol thing. Bol Bol is, obviously didn't play a minute at Modern Day this year, so he wasn't a factor. But going into the season, obviously, Coach McKnight, Coach Quinn thought they were going to have a different center and obviously a point guard that ended up going back to Seattle. So there's two players right there. Did this team struggle at all to find their identity, and did they find one, do you think, during the season?
Well, yeah, that's another good point. I think the reason they made the national schedule that they made was they felt they would have Bol and Fuller, both high national mm-hmm. recruits. But once they didn't have them, I think it forced some of the younger guys to get better right away. I think the freshman, Wilhelm Breidenbach, forced him into playing major minutes as a freshman. Remember that name, everybody. He's going to be the next really, really good modern-day big player. He's 6'8 and a freshman, and he's not done growing yet. And he's really smart and really good. He's going to be something. And I think it forced him all of a sudden, instead of maybe playing 15, 18 minutes, suddenly he had to play 30, minute type of games. And he's really benefited from that. Then you've got, I think, the best point guard, certainly in Orange County, and one of the best point guards in the country, and Spencer Friedman, who I think weathered this young bunch through the transition of having different players playing a lot more minutes than maybe they felt they were going to. Friedman is a special player, and he could have played anywhere, Pac-12, any major school, and he chose Harvard, which shows how smart the kid is.
Yeah.
And so Modern Day is playing their best basketball at just the right time of the year. Some very impressive wins in league over the likes of Santa Margarita and Jay Serra, where they were dominant victories. These are good teams that they beat rather handily. We saw them beat Chino Hills in the Nike Extravaganza. Chino Hills going to be around a while in Division One. So I think Modern Day, they're going to be a tough out. They catch a break in getting a home game against Crespi in the first round. If they win that one, as I expect they will, then they get the winner of Santa Margarita versus Etiwanda at a neutral site. That's up at Cal Baptist. Obviously, Modern Day feels good playing Santa Margarita. They know what they're up against. Etiwanda, Dave Klecker might have the best team that he's had since the Jordan McLaughlin teams, one of those that actually beat Modern Day and
right.
Stanley Johnson.
Right.
But Etiwanda always defends, but this year they actually can put the ball in the basket. Kessler Edwards going to Pepperdine is a 20-point-per-game guy. And so if it ends up being Etiwanda, and I'm not 100% sure it's going to be, I think if I were to go anywhere to a open division game, I would go watch Santa Margarita and Etiwanda. I would not be stunned if someone texts me and says Santa Margarita won that game.
Yeah.
Because they're very good. Santa Margarita is really good. And they're getting improved play out of the big guy, the guy who came in late in the season, Shengze Lee, 6'11", and he's a factor. Anytime you've got a close to a 7-footer, it makes matchups, it makes things different for the opposition. So Santa Margarita, and the fact that Jake Kyman didn't hurt himself badly in the Nike, we all winced when he went down with the ankle, hoping it wasn't the end of the season for him, and it is not. So Jeff Reinert's one of the best coaches around. That is a basketball junkie's dream to watch two coaches move the chess pieces around like Reinert and Kleckner are going to do in Santa Margarita, Etowanda.
Yeah, you bring up a great point because I talk to so many coaches, and I like to ask coaches, is your team kind of gelling now at the right time, especially as you get to the end of the season? This is the time you want, obviously, your team to be playing their best basketball, and I think that really applies to Santa Margarita as much as anyone. They seem to be a team that maybe could be sneaky good in this bracket. I know Etowanda's a tough hill to climb, and then you'd have Modern Day after that, but if anyone's up to the task, it might just be these Eagles.
Yeah, I just think, if they had a real point guard, and Ryan Evans is doing a wonderful job of moving over from the two to play point because their presumed point guard was injured and hasn't played at all. But they've got, you know, they've got a shooting kind of point guard in Evans. They've got great wings in Jordan Guest and Jake Kyman. I think Max Agonpolo is as improved a player as there is in the county. Now getting a lot of Division I looks. He's bouncy and really skilled. And then when you put the new big force, you know, the 6'11 kid who's really strong in the middle, if they had two more weeks to play and get used to each other even a little bit more, I wouldn't want to play Santa Margarita.
Yeah, I agree 100% with you. I think this is kind of this whole open division. I mean, we could spend a whole show probably talking about it. I think maybe one of the best matchups is Sierra Canyon Rancho Christian. I think that's going to be a fun one to watch as well. But whoever does win that open division, you know they're going to have earned it.
Well, exactly. And like I say, eight teams I think is absolutely perfect. There might have been 10 teams worthy, maybe 11, but eight certainly fits the whole idea of the open division better than 16. And you're right, Sierra Canyon, five Division I players on the court at one time. Rancho Christian with the Mobley brothers, two high-level Division I guys. I mean, it's anytime you can play a basketball game and you maybe have eight Division I players on the court at the same time, that's pretty fascinating stuff. Only problem with Sierra Canyon that I've seen is that they might need a role player, you know, or two, because when you've got five stars, we've seen them where sometimes it doesn't mesh as well as it should. But if they all bring their A game on the same night, holy mackerel.
Yeah, it would really be something. Switching over to the open division on the girls' side. Obviously, we have Modern Day. They're the number three seed in the open division. Again, it's eight teams over there. And Harvard-Westlake, number one. Windward, which is always one of the top schools in Southern California, at the number two seed. Can we see the Lady Monarchs make a run here in this open division?
Well, yes and no. It's a really young team. And maybe their best player is, of course, Kylan Crocker, who's missed a lot of the season due to injury. But she's, you know, magnificent, probably top 10 in the state if she's healthy. Now, Coach Kiernan said she probably isn't going to be 100% this season. But at 75-80%, she's still better
than
most.
She's still really good, yeah.
but Modern Day runs into a really interesting opponent in the first round in Rebay Academy. They're huge. Normally, Modern Day is the biggest team out there. When you got Emma Torbert. And, you know, the couple of the freshmen who are over 6 feet and Brooke Dimitri and Kylie Pepe, normally they're the biggest team and they get a lot of advantage from being the bigger team. Well, they won't be the bigger team against Roubaix. They've got a 6'9 girl who's going to Oregon State and a 6'3 girl who's going to Utah in Lola Pendante. And they have wins over Jay Sarah, Bishop Montgomery, Orangewood Academy, Alamany Canyon, Country Canyon. I mean,
wow.
They've played a tough schedule to get ready to be moved up from their division into the open division. So it will not be a walk in the park for Modern Day. I think they prevail because can the Roubaix guards handle the Modern Day? You've seen it, the intense mm-hmm. Modern Day full court pressure. Can Modern Day get transition baskets before the Fighting Frogs defense can get set up with all that length? Because you won't get a lot of second chance opportunities against them. But I think Modern Day prevails. And then they get Windward. If they play Windward, and I think they will, they get Windward and their tremendous point guard, Charisma Osborne. Mm-hmm. They get them at Modern Day. So having that as a home game is enormous. forgive me on that. I know the boys are playing at Cal Baptist. Maybe the girls are, too.
And then the girls are, too. No, yeah, actually, the girls are, too. The consolation bracket will go over to the home site. You're right. The championship bracket, you're correct, will go to Cal Baptist as well.
Yeah. So, you know, not Windward is going to be they're sort of a thorn in modern-day side over the years.
Paul, we want to thank you again for your insight. You break it down like nobody else. We're all just waiting to see how this is all going to play out because it's going to be a whole lot of fun. We know that in these next couple of weeks.
Oh, no doubt about it, Bob. For all your listeners out there, go out and catch a game.
Yes.
It doesn't cost much. If you choose wisely, you probably don't have to drive very far, and you're going to see some quality basketball. And once we get to the quarterfinals in any division, it's going to be really entertaining stuff. Go out and take the family a pretty cheap night out and go see a game in your area. You won't be sorry you did.
You're absolutely right. Paul, I want to thank you again, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, Bob, be good.
You too. That's Paul Westfall, the professor. He's breaking it down, like I said, like no other. And you heard it right here. Quick break right here on Catholic Sports View, and we'll come right back. Stay with us right here on Relevant Radio.
Well, it's that time of year for us Catholics all around the world. It is Lent, and that means, as is tradition, we are here with Wahoo's co-founder, Wing Lam. And Wing, tell us about what you have for us this year.
Well, Mike, what better way to observe Lent than by having some fish tacos on Friday? And this year, we got some crispy ones waiting for you. Something a little bit different. We've been grilling using Cajun spices. Now we got something a little more crispy for you to try out during Lent.
If it's Fridays and it's Lent, it's got to be Wahoo's Fish Taco. Thanks, Wing.
Thank you, Mike. We'll see you at the stores.
Join Bishop Tim Fryer, the diocesan choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City and Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise departing from Naples that will take our pilgrims to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in Christendom. Visit the birthplace of St. Junipero Serra in Mallorca, Spain. Celebrate Mass in the famed Gaudi Cathedral of Sagrada Familia in Barcelona. And visit Pisa and Florence, Italy. For more information, call 877-538-0010 or go to occatholic.com/travel.
Welcoming to the show, Sean Zeitler. He is the head track and field coach at Santa Margarita Catholic High School. Sean, thanks for joining us this week on Catholic Sports View.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we talked to your dad last week, and we talked about his 40 years in coaching. You're not quite at your 40-year mark in coaching, but it's got to be fun to be at Santa Margarita, you know, to be there with your dad and kind of follow in his footsteps, I imagine.
Yeah, it's been pretty cool. You know, I mean, it's funny. We kind of joke about, you know, I learned how to drive a car when we used to rake the track back when it was a dirt track.
Oh, wow.
And I was a little guy trying to learn to drive it. So it's been pretty cool to see the evolution of the school and the program as a whole. My dad's 40 years. He's an old guy. I've been around a long time. But it's been very cool. It's been awesome to be around the school this long and see how it's grown and not just be able to be a small part of it.
Yeah, obviously your dad, Dave, has, you know, set a legacy there. Starting in modern day, of course, and then, you know, coming over to Santa Margarita, and it's this legacy of coaching that, was that something that as a kid, when you were one of his athletes, you know, you kind of looked up to him and thought, you know, maybe someday I'd want to do this as well?
You know what? I don't think that thought ever crossed my mind, to be honest. you know, I always enjoyed the sport. Truthfully, I don't think I ever set foot on a track competitively until my freshman year. I actually grew up kind of playing baseball. Always loved the sport, but truthfully, I don't know if I could pinpoint a time when I actually said, you know what, maybe I want to be a coach. You know, I helped him out as an assistant coach and got to learn some of the ropes. But even up until, I don't know, maybe 12 years ago, I still didn't know if that was going to be the route I wanted to go. And then just as things have changed and grown, I've, you know, fallen in love with kind of the head coaching aspect of it. You know, I've seen my dad, you know, be the head coach for so long, and the way he addressed the team and got everybody rallied and motivated and stuff like that. I don't know if I ever deep down thought I had that inside of me, but just kind of, you know, as the years have gone by, I think I've gotten a little bit better at it as years go by and become a big part of me and a part of the family.
When did you realize maybe that, yeah, maybe, you know, you did have that in you and it is something you wanted to pursue? Was there kind of a light bulb moment that went off?
You know, I don't think there was a light bulb moment necessarily. I think, you know, my first 2 years as a head coach, I think I was a little timid. Truthfully, I wasn't a whole lot older than a lot of the kids. And, you know, I almost saw myself as one of the athletes. But then I think probably one of the times would be, you know, as I got together with my girlfriend at the time, but then became my wife and I got a little bit older. And, you know, I think I saw myself as more of an adult at that time. And then I said, you know what, you know, these guys are young guys, you know. I can use my age to my advantage.
Sean Zeiler joining us, the head track and field coach at Santa Margarita Catholic High School. As you graduated high school and went to college, was there a different plan in place at that point?
No, at that point, you know, we came, you know, my dad and our sprint coach at the time, Coach Girardin, they were a very tough, rigid program, to say the least. But truthfully, we all loved it. We had a very competitive group all years I was in high school. I went off to college after that, Cal Poly Pomona. I ran there. It's probably less than an average career there, to say the best, but I enjoyed it and still carried on with track and field. But, you know, it's just one of those things where I was going through college and, you know, coaching still had never kicked in, never thought that that's something I was going to be doing. But like I said, you know, the pieces have fallen into place, and here I am now.
Now, is it the kind of thing where you can't see yourself doing anything else now?
No, absolutely. I mean, now I look at it, and even when I came to Santa Margarita, you know, it was just a small part-time job. I was a communications assistant, and that was the year that I took over as head coach. And, you know, things have evolved. You know, being a head coach for a few years and, you know, turned into a sports information director. I got an office. You know, things have, you know, full circle, and it's been pretty cool to be a part of it.
Yeah, and obviously I've got to think that having your dad to rely upon, you know, to sort of follow, as I said, in his footsteps and to get his guidance and his counseling in it, that's got to have helped immensely as well.
Oh, unbelievable. I mean, the guy's basically, you know, like I said, tap the reservoir of knowledge whenever I can.
Yeah.
But, you know, I basically, you know, I stepped in, you know. At the time that he stepped down as a head coach, he probably didn't need to. He could have kept going. At the time, you know, I was working for a footwear manufacturer, and I had gotten let go. It was just one of those times where, you know, my dad kind of sat down with me and said, hey, well, you know, what do you think about maybe this being the time where, you know, you kind of take the reins, you know, walk you through it. He's done this for so long, and he set the foundation. And truthfully, I felt pretty lucky and pretty fortunate just kind of have all the pieces in place, basically getting the keys to a Maserati and just being told not to crash it. That's kind of how I saw it.
So. Here you go, kid. Take it and don't do anything bad with it, right?
Exactly. Make good decisions.
Sean Zeiler joining us, the head track and field coach, boy track and field coach at Santa Margarita Catholic High School. Getting a chance to work with the athletes now. Obviously, South Orange County, that area, Santa Margarita, we know is known for having some great athletes there. So, I mean, a dream job in that aspect as well.
Yeah, 100%. You know, I mean, more than just, you know, their athletic capabilities, the kids here at Santa Margarita, it's incredible the way they are, not just as athletes, but as they are as people. So, you know, one of my jobs here as sports information director is I run our national signing days, and we just had one this last Wednesday.
Right.
And we had 29 athletes, and so one of my jobs is, you know, I start filling out all these kids' bios, and, you know, I'm typing out everything they do athletically, but then I look at the things they do outside of the athletic spectrum, what they do in the classroom, GPAs, community groups, things like that. I mean, it's incredible. It really is. I mean, I think back to when I was in high school. I didn't have bios like this. I didn't have a lot of the things that these kids do, but, you know, I'm fortunate, I'm blessed to be able to coach these kids and just be a small part of their high school careers.
Yeah, is that part of, you know, the curriculum at Santa Margarita? Part of what makes it special is that, there's a lot expected of the kids there. If you're going to be an Eagle, you know, there's a certain standard, you know, that you're held up to.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you know, it's things that, you know, the school does a really good job of, like, they don't force these things on you. You really grow. I mean, we're considered a college preparatory school, and we really are. I mean, they teach you how to multitask. They teach you how to, you know, work your time management, how to balance things, how not to feel overwhelmed or inundated. But the reality is that they're getting a lot of stuff, you know, a lot of things thrown at them, whether it's in the classroom or extracurricular, and then you throw in athletics on top of it. You know, these kids go home. They got to be exhausted, but they do it day in and day out. It really is pretty remarkable.
Do you look at your own athletes and think, wow, you know, how are you able to maintain all this?
Yeah, 100%. You know, and so we were fortunate enough, you know, we had four track and field athletes be a part of this last signing day. USC, UCLA, TCU,
wow.
Dartmouth, and then we had a Duke one from earlier in the fall. And so I'm fortunate to be around these kids enough just to see how they are as people, too. You know, these other athletes that sign for signing day, you know, I'm not around them every day, but there's something special when you get a track and field athlete and you almost feel like a proud moment where you get to brag about your own athlete, the things they do on the track and, more importantly, off the track.
Yeah, that is so true. Is this more of a track program? Is it a field program? Is there a strength one way or the other, or is it pretty even across the board?
You know, you really can't have one without the other. We mm-hmm. always preach teamwork. We preach, you know, you're only as strong as your weakest, little things like that. So you go into a dual meet and, you know, you may be loaded in the sprints, but if you don't have throwers, you don't have jumpers, you don't have vaulters, you'll never be that complete team. So sure enough, you know, year in, year out, you know, you have ebbs and flows in terms of what events are stronger and what are weaker. We're a pretty solid team across the board on both sides, boys and girls. you know, we've been blessed. We had an incredible 4x1 team on the boys' side. They ran 41.97. Unfortunately, they hurt the year through. But then on the girls' side, you know, they set the Orange County record for the fastest 4x1 ever run.
Wow.
So we've got these tremendous athletes. And then you look at what Coach Rao and the pole vault has done. She had a streak of, I don't know, 6 or 7 years where she had a CIF champion.
Right, yeah.
So we always try to preach, you know, be well-rounded. We want people trying out other events. We don't want 1,100-meter runners. We want people to go out there and find their niche and what they're going to be best at, and hopefully that's something that helps the team in the end.
I always say track and field is the most unique sport around because every other sport, it's pretty much the same the skills that you need to have. It's kind of a uniform thing, but you know, you in track and field, you have somebody who's going to sprint. You got somebody who needs to be able to run a long distance. You got somebody who needs to be able to put the shot, throw jump high, the pole vault. I mean, it's completely different things across the board that you're asking all these different athletes to compete in.
Yeah, track and field. I mean, a lot of people, you don't really grow up doing it. You know, it's not AYSO, it's not Little League, NJB, Pop Warner, or anything like that. So, you know, every year when I have my parent meeting at the beginning of the year, you know, I always say, hey, show of hands, how many parents are brand new to this sport? And sure enough, everyone's hand goes up.
Right.
And so I say, take a look around. You know, most people aren't used to this. So we try to find, you know, what these individuals are going to be best at, especially freshman year. We say, try everything. You know, you never know. You might think you're a sprinter, but you might end up being, you know, a tremendous distance runner. So it's really cool. You know, just shooting and throwing. It's a lot of different aspects of going to track and field.
Because there's no real, as you said, kind of feeder program coming up from the, how do you identify the athletes? I mean, Santa Margarita is just a good enough school that kids are going to come there and compete in it, but are you able to locate maybe some other athletes where you go, hey, maybe you want to try to come out and try track and field?
Yeah, I'm in a very fortunate position. I'm actually on the freshman football coaching staff here.
I get to
see the young guys come in. I get to see them, you know, mature over the course of just their freshman year, which is incredible when they come in and as little eighth graders and then, you know, they were top of the food chain in junior high and then they come in. We make sure they understand where they're at on the totem pole. But, you know, we get to see these kids, you know, early on. Just the school as a whole is incredible in terms of encouraging multi-sport athletes. So these days you always see, you know, specialties and year-round stuff. The school doesn't have that. We don't want that. We like these kids to go out there, especially freshman year. You know, you're going to find your niche as high school goes on, but you know, freshman year, that's going to be one of the only years that you'll really have to, you don't have a whole lot of pressure, get out there and try different things. And we'll get kids that come out freshman, sophomore year, it turns out, you know, baseball is their passion or lacrosse is their passion or they're a really good volleyball player. And, you know, hey, you know, we wish them the best and hopefully they're going to help one of our other athletic teams excel.
Right. And obviously, you know, kids that come to Santa Margarita are choosing to come there. They're looking for a Catholic education. Really, you know, there's so many great schools in Orange County. Santa Margarita is one of them. I mean, so the faith aspect of what kids are coming in and getting, that's obviously something you nurture as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know faith is always a really big part of our program, not just in terms of, hey, you know, let's get together and say prayer prior to, but I'm, you know, our campus ministry department here on campus. Principal Dunn, he came up with this new thing called a prayer council. And it's basically a chance for him to get, we as coaches select, you know, 3 or 4 athletes from our program, and then they'll become a part of this prayer council. And they kind of learn a way to integrate, you know, faith into your sport specifically. And then, you know, they'll lead us in prayer. We'll ask for special intentions. At the end of the day, we're not just trying to run the fastest and jump the furthest. We are a family. You know, we're here to help people. And, you know, there's so much stress these kids are under these days. You know, faith needs to be a big part of their life. We try to stress to them, hey, we're not just here as coaches to talk to you about athletics, but, you know, you guys are under an immense amount of pressure. If you guys need anything, turn to your line leaders, turn to your captains, turn to your coaches, turn to your peers. We're all here to help to make sure that we're all one big family.
Sean Zeiler is our guest this week on Catholic Sports View. Okay, I'll go ahead and use the most obvious pun, but the season is off and running.
Uh-huh.
As we speak. Never heard that one before, right?
No, that was the first time.
So what do the prospects look like for this 2018 season?
You know, on the girls' side, we had an incredible team last year, but we graduated a lot of people. So, you know, we capped off our third CIF championship last year, but we graduated a lot of seniors, mm-hmm. and they went off to great schools. And so we're kind of regrouping. We got a core nucleus of girls that are back. Nikki Merritt, Mallory Barnes, Tessa Green, Gwen George, Mackenzie Schulman. So we have a core nucleus, but we don't have necessarily that depth. So in terms of whether or not we're going to excel in a dual meet versus a CIF championship, we don't know yet. But we've got the pieces coming back, and more importantly, we've got great kids. On the guy side, we're bringing back almost everybody except one of our better shot putters, Brett Nealon, who's off and playing football at USC now. we got to see. You know, it's a long season. Health is always a concern. You got to make sure these kids stay healthy throughout the course of the year. Seniors, keeping them engaged. You know, it's the end of their high school careers. But we got a group of kids definitely looking forward to the season, and we'll see what happens.
Is it very similar to the rest of the sports where your competition in the Trinity League is as good as you're going to see for most of the year?
Yeah, it's not very fun. No, I'm kidding. You know what? We get along great. There's actually a little bit of a fraternity amongst the other track coaches in our league. We get together. You know, Coach Martinez from Modern Day, we go to their Christmas party every year. But these are all other coaches that they've been around a long time. I think every coach that's in the Trinity League almost was around when I was an athlete. So I've known these guys for a long time. We have dual meets that come down to the 4x4. There's never anything better. And whether you're on the winning side of that or the losing side of it, there's always something to learn from it. And those are moments that, you know, we love to, you know, experience and have the kids experience. So, yeah, the Trinity League, it's fun and it's not fun, but it's definitely something that builds memories.
Right, yeah, for sure. Closing moments here with Sean Zeitler, the track and field coach at Santa Margarita. You know, we talked earlier about your dad and celebrating 40 years in coaching. You're still a young man yourself. Do you see yourself maybe somewhere in the future celebrating your 40 years in coaching as well?
You know, 40 years, that's a way down the road, but it's kind of hard to look that far. But, you know, I got, you know, my wife, and we've been married about 6 years, and we got a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, and, you know, I thought it was, I thought it did something very special for the bond between my dad and I to be able to see him coach other young athletes and, you know, fill in, and I was one of those athletes. You know, I'm not saying my daughters have to run track, and I'm not saying I'd be around coaching necessarily. But I think it would be pretty cool to kind of see that. So hopefully it's one of those things where I'm having as much fun over the next years where I look back and say, oh, my goodness, it has been 40 years, and I am just like my dad. It's happened. It's gone full circle, see my kids go through. So try to live in the now. Try not to think too far in advance.
Sure.
I'll say I'm having a great time. Love being around these kids. Thankful that my wife allows me to do it. I'm away a lot, whether it's, you know, freshman football in the summer and fall, and then it's track and field in the winter and spring. So I'm fortunate to be able to do it, and I want to do it as long as I can.
Yeah, well, it's certainly it's one of the unique things about Santa Margarita. It's so many family. We know the swimming program is a family business, and
uh-huh.
The track and field program is a family business as well. And, Coach, we want to thank you. Wish you luck, and we'll catch up with you as you try to go for another Trinity League and another CIF championship this year.
Thank you guys so much. Thanks for having me on.
All right, that's Sean Zeitler. He's the track and field coach at Santa Margarita Catholic High School. And we'll take a quick break here on Catholic Sports View and be right back. You're listening to Relevant Radio.
Crucify him! Crucify him!
Crucify him!
When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him and the criminals there, one on his right, the other on his left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do.
Experience the profound power of The Passion According to St. Luke, performed by Leonardo DeFilippis, director and star of the feature film Thérèse. In this one-hour presentation, you will encounter Christ speaking directly to you, dying for you personally, and giving you the hope of eternal life. The Passion According to St. Luke is suitable for all ages and is coming soon to our area.
Come see The Passion at Christ Cathedral Garden Grove's Fried Theater, March 16th, 17th, and 18th. For ticket info, visit ccdramaseries.com.
We welcome into the program Les Lukacs. He is the state scouting director for the state of California for the Prep Baseball Report. The website is prepbaseballreport.com/California. Les, thanks for joining us this week here on Catholic Sports View.
Bob, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, baseball season, it's spring, right? I mean, it's I guess still technically winter, but spring is here, especially in the state of California. The sun is shining, and it's baseball year-round anyway. You describe yourself as a self-described baseball junkie, as lots of us are here in the state. How'd you get into this website? And I know you've been on Twitter for a long time, and you've been running around baseball circles for years now. How'd you get into this scouting aspect of it?
Well, you know, Bob, I used to coach travel baseball and high school baseball. And when time became of the essence, my wife and I, we, you know, started growing our family a bit. I had to pull away a little bit from the coaching aspect of things. And so about 6-7 years ago, I started a blog. I would go out, watch some high school baseball games, and just jot some notes down on this blog. And that seemed to be pretty well received, and it took off pretty quickly, much to my surprise. From there, I got an opportunity to work for a couple of different scouting services, both locally and nationally. And after, you know, the extreme travel with that across the country with this, small child, it was just not working out for me. And, you know, then Baseball Report came to me with an opportunity, and it was one of those things that it was too good to pass up. And, you know, so here we are, excited to launch California. You know, obviously one of the best states in the country for high school baseball, if not the best. You know, we're pretty spoiled, as you said. It, you know, we get to play baseball year-round, and so that means we get to watch baseball year-round from my perspective and evaluate something that, you know, we feel was an underserved element of our sporting community here in California.
Yeah, so true. And I can attest to how great your blog was when you started it, you know, years back. I found it, I caught on to it, and such detailed information in there, and so invaluable, just information on different players and different kids. And we're not just talking the ones on the radar, the ones kind of off the radar too, who became on the radar kids. I mean, is that a part of what you do, is kind of going around and trying to identify the just where the talent is here in California?
Absolutely. You know, it's pretty simple to do a quick search on the internet. You can find out, you know, who the top 1 or 2% players are. But, you know, what I pride myself on, and what we as an organization pride ourselves on, is, you know, finding those guys that, you know, maybe college coaches or pro scouts don't just quite know yet, whether they are underclassmen or upperclassmen, you know, guys who haven't traveled the country playing in various tournaments and various events. You know, those are the guys that I like to find, because there's nothing more rewarding than bringing a little bit of notoriety to a kid who can clearly play the game, but maybe just hasn't taken up the opportunities to travel the country or play in these various events. You know, and when you have a conversation with a college coach or a pro scout, you know, then they go out and see them and they say, man, you know, it's pretty spot on evaluation. You know, it's pretty rewarding, obviously intrinsically, but I think what it does for the player is the greatest reward.
Yeah, so true. Les Lukacs joining us, prepbaseballreport.com/California, as we talk all things baseball here locally. And of course, we're going to get into the Trinity League, which is our focus here. And, you know, I want to talk a little bit more about, you know, the process of getting out. Obviously, there's so many hundreds of schools, and just in this area in Southern California, much less the entire state here. How do you concentrate on what you want to write about, what you want to focus on? It's obviously a big job.
Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of it comes down to relationships, as you know, in any industry.
Oh, yeah.
If you have good relationships, you're going to be pretty successful. And I was very fortunate through coaching and through my blog to establish some really good relationships with high school coaches, travel ball coaches, college coaches, and pro scouts who, you know, they alert me of guys at times. You know, I got a text this morning, as a matter of fact, from a high school coach out in the Palm Desert area, said, look, we have two kids that nobody knows about who can play, you know, and just having those sorts of relationships has been incredibly helpful. And at that point, it, you know, takes a great matter of time management, resource management. You know, I don't want to be, you know, the last thing you want to do is, you know, I'm based in Orange County, is you know, drive up to, you know, say Bakersfield or Fresno or Stockton and to see a couple of kids. And, you know, it turns out that, you know, they may or may not, you know, have the skill sets necessary to advance their baseball careers. You know, so that's where the relationships come into play. And, you know, high school coaches and college coaches, again, have been incredibly helpful for me to kind of gauge how to manage my time, how to manage where we want to go, the guys we want to go see, the teams we want to see, you know, to be able to write thorough reports and most importantly, you know, unbiased reports.
Yeah, you know, obviously that's important. You know, people want to get the correct information. You know, who's your customer? I mean, if somebody logs on to prepbaseballreport.com, what are they getting there?
Well, currently we have over 850 college coaches subscribed to our platform. We have a number of different MLB scouts that are also subscribed. You know, but our customers are high school age players. You know, we will run a series of events to where that helps bring players to one facility where we can then evaluate a number of players. Parents obviously are interested in knowing what not only their sons are doing, but what other players are doing. It's kind of a broad spectrum of, you know, from the player to the general baseball fan to the college coaches and recruiters to the pro scouts.
We mentioned baseball season is right here, and I have to believe the Trinity League is really the epicenter in Southern California of all the great baseball talent. Do you find that to be true?
I do find that to be true. My opinion is that it is unquestionably one of the top two or three leagues in the state,
yeah.
And many people outside of our state believe that it's the top league in the country. And when you look at some of the talent that plays in the league, it's understandable. I was at an event recently in Chicago, and we were discussing a number of teams from the Trinity League, and you know, some of my colleagues from around the country, to a man, essentially said, you know, it's the best league in the country. You guys are so spoiled and so lucky, and we are spoiled and lucky. And when you look at the numbers of just players committed to play collegiately already, it's upwards of 50 Division I commitments or signees in just one league. You're not going to find that anywhere else in the country. The Mission League up in Los Angeles, it might have something to say about that, but Harvard Westlake and Notre Dame and Chaminade and some of the other teams in that league, also very, very talented. But I'm a little biased. I think that the Trinity League, in my opinion, is unquestionably the best league, you know, certainly in Southern California and potentially in the country.
And we just had the number one pick in the baseball draft come out of the Trinity League as well from Jay Sarah, so that doesn't hurt either.
No, absolutely. Royce was an incredibly, incredibly talented player and by all accounts, an even better person. And so, you know, he was a lot of fun to watch for the last 4 years, and it's going to be fun to watch to see where his career takes him in pro ball.
Yeah, it's so true. It's going to be a lot of fun for all of us to watch that. Obviously, it starts with the coaching. You know, Coach Borba, Coach Barbara, Coach Call. I think having that basis of coaches, Coach K at Jay Sarah, as we just talked about as well, having the basis of longtime coaches, guys that are really dialed into those programs, helps keep that stability and keeps those programs strong.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Don't forget Coach Gilbert and Coach Malik.
Yes, in San Margarita as well, right? No, don't want to forget anybody.
you hit the nail on the head, right? I mean, these guys are first and foremost they're baseball men,
yeah.
And what they've done at their programs is really it's really incredible. And what I really like about the Trinity League is there is a commitment to not only baseball but every sport, but baseball in particular. From these coaches and from the administrators in this league, and it shows on the field of play. They take their jobs very seriously. A lot of these programs are, you know, right or wrong, are run essentially like college programs. And having been around these guys for a number of years, you see why the talent wants to come play there. You go to a Jay Sarah practice, for example, and you watch the way Brett Kay runs his practice, and it's not too dissimilar from the way they run a practice at Cal State Fullerton where he played. You go to a modern day practice and it's just, they're very efficient in how they manage not only their teams, but their practices and, you know, the things they're doing to make their players get better and ultimately try to achieve their goal of playing beyond high school.
Yeah, and so many have. I mean, obviously we talk about Royce Lewis. That's, you know, Exhibit A right there. But so many kids have moved on from this area, and not just in the Trinity League. We're talking about all of Orange County, all of LA County. I mean, this is really, as we talked about, the hotbed of baseball. But especially within the Trinity League. Now last year, Orange Lutheran was the talk of the town. Everybody thought the Lancers were going to be the top team. Of course, Modern Day is always in the mix, and ended up saying John Bosco. I don't want to say they came out of nowhere, but came up to win that league and really dominate. Does that just show you how close the competition is within the league?
It does, and it goes to show you just the depth of talent within the league. A couple of years ago, Donnie Barbara said to me, he says, well, you know what, I think we're a year or two away, and in seeing them last year's senior class as sophomores, you know, it was pretty easy to understand that. And I've known Donnie a while, and you know, he's not one of those guys that will fill you full of hot air,
right?
Just to pump up his program. And you know, he was spot on. I mean, they have the pitching depth and the pitching talent, and you know, a number of good hitters that you know may have surprised some people. But if you followed kind of their path and their trajectory, it wasn't really much of a surprise. For those of us that are into that sort of thing, you know, following these guys for a number of years, it was really neat to see. That's a, you know, tradition-rich baseball program. Obviously, Evan Longoria, Nomar Garcia-Parra, to name a few, to come out of there. And what he's done in just what, 2 or 3 years is really, really impressive to get that program back to where it is. You know, this year they have 7 Division I commits led by Cameron Ojeda, who's committed to Cal State Fullerton, who is, you know, likely a top 10 round pick coming up in the draft. He's a catcher, left-handed hitting with some power. They're starting to attract some talent as well. So it's no longer, you know, the modern days, the Jay Sayers and the Orange Lutherans of the world. Servite Coach Dilbert has done a phenomenal job in building that program up. And, you know, he has 8 Division I commits this year. I saw them last week. And that's a very talented team, top to bottom. The interesting player will be Santa Margarita. Obviously, they won, you know, CIF a couple of years ago under Coach Picani. You know, he decided to step down. Coach Malik made a seamless transition. You know, Chandler Champlain is their big guy this year. Big right-handed pitcher committed to USC, but he too is likely to be an early selection in the draft. You know, so it's just the depth of talent in this league, it seemingly never ends. And then you talk to these guys, which I have in the last few weeks, and, you know, they all say to a man, you know, my freshman class is outstanding. So it's, you know, they just kind of reload at these programs rather than rebuild.
The pipeline continues.
Yes, indeed.
Les Lukacs joining us, PrepBaseballReport.com. He is the California, the head scout in the state of California for the website. Now obviously, it's easy to put, to say, I guess, you'd have to make Bosco, I guess, the favorite going in, but really, I don't think that really does the league any justice, because we thought we had a favorite last year and it didn't quite turn out. Would you put them as a soft favorite going into the season, or are we looking at one of the other teams as clearly better than any of the others in this league right now?
Well, I, you know, and that's the thing. I had a conversation with Brett Kay recently, and he says, you know, we're going to be okay. You know, not a lot of people know about us. We don't, you know, we have some talent, but it's not like years past. And then I went and saw them the other night against Newport Harbor, and, you know, I left there just kind of shaking my head. And I said, Brett, you guys are really, really talented. So, you know, it's tough to say, you know, it's tough to say who the early season favorite is. I would say Bosco is there. You know, I'd say Servite is also there. But when you look at a team like Mater Dei, who is just absolutely loaded, it's tough to not consider them at or near the top. But then you look at Orange Lutheran, you know, they have 6 Division I pitchers. You know, anytime you can pitch in this league, you're going to do pretty well, especially playing at fields like Hart Park at night, where the ball just simply does not travel.
Right.
I think every team, you can make an argument as to why they would be a favorite. You know, but then you would look at the flip side of that coin and you would say, okay, well, there's some question marks, for each team, but you put any of these teams in just about any other league, in the Southland, and, you know, they're no question the favorite to win that league. So, you know, I didn't necessarily directly answer your question, but I think every team in this league, as we saw last year, you know, has a chance to, you know, either win the league or certainly make the postseason, which I believe 5 of the 6 teams made last year, you know, much to the dismay of other leagues around the South.
All we know is it's going to be a fun season to watch. And no matter what, if you're a baseball fan, get out and see a Trinity League game somewhere, because it's going to be a great matchup no matter who's playing in the game.
Yeah, 100%. And it's a lot like a college baseball atmosphere at some of these games. You get into some of the, you know, the bigger rivalries. You know, obviously Jay Sparrow, Santa Margarita, you know, a Servite Modern Day game, you know, an Orange Lutheran Modern Day game. I mean, the stands are packed. People are excited. And the product on the field usually is pretty darn good.
And you're going to see it. You're almost guaranteed to see somebody who's going to be a college baseball star and probably a couple professional guys down the road as well.
Yeah, 100% agree with that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Les, I want to thank you for joining us. Once again, it's prepbaseballreport.com/California. And Les is a great follow on Twitter as well. If you're a baseball fan, at Les Lukacs as well. Get on Twitter and follow him as well. All kinds of great information. Hey, Les, thanks for joining us. And we'll catch up with you down the road. We'll talk some more baseball as we get further into the season.
Sounds great. Looking forward to it. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks again. That's Les Lukacs with prepbaseballreport.com/California. And we'll have more right here on Catholic Sports Zoo when we come back on Relevant Radio.
This coming July, join Bishop Tim Fryer, the Diocesan Choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City in Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise departing from Naples that will take you to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in Christendom. Visit the birthplace of St. Junipero Serra in Mallorca, Spain. Celebrate Mass in the famed Gaudi Cathedral of Sagrada Familia in Barcelona, and visit Pisa and Florence, Italy. For more information, call 877-538-0010 or go to occatholic.com/travel.
Let's welcome into Catholic Sports View Kirk Orahood. He is the head boys tennis coach at J. Sarah High School. Boys tennis is starting. The spring season is underway for so many sports. Tennis is one of those. Coach, thanks for taking a couple of minutes to join us here on Catholic Sports View.
My pleasure.
We want to start off by talking about your background in tennis. You are a tennis professional. What are your earliest memories of kind of falling in love with the sport and getting involved with it?
Well, my earliest memory wasn't really a fond one, but I grew up in Bakersfield, and I have a twin brother and another brother, and we grew up playing baseball, and back then, baseball wasn't geographic, so we had to be on separate teams. I played for 1 year with my brother, then the next year, my mom tried to take us across town to two different practices and said that wasn't going to continue. So when you're a little kid, the obvious answer is, well, Keith and I played, and tough luck, Kent doesn't get to play. And then when you become a parent later on, you realize that's not the answer. So they said, we're making you quit baseball, but we're going to switch you over to tennis. And I was pretty upset, but obviously things work out for a reason.
Yeah, right. Was it the type of thing where you took to it, or did it take you a little while to kind of go, okay?
No, we're baseball. We came from a baseball background. Yeah. I've been playing sports since I was a little kid, and I don't say it was easy, but it was kind of easy. So it was a good switch for all of us.
What is it about the sport of tennis? Obviously, I mean, a long history of great tennis in the state of California. We've had so many great tennis players, come out of this area. But what is it that hooked you in specifically?
I just think just the competition, and then right away I had two guys that I could work out with right away. We could go to the courts, and you don't have to call a friend that lives far away and say, hey, let's go play tennis, because I had built-in playmates at my house. And just the one-on-one, I think maybe the competition between my two brothers, basically, in its own little arena, helped all of us be better in the bigger arena.
As you progressed on, talk about each level as you progressed up and how much better you got and how much better the competition was.
Well, we grew up in Bakersfield, which is a big tennis town, mm-hmm. and then we moved to Southern California, and I lived by Loyola Marymount for a year, and we didn't get to play because it was too far away. The courts were too far away, so basically we skipped a year, and then when we moved to Huntington Beach High School, their team was kind of weak, and it was in a good league with Newport and Corona Del Mars of the world. Those guys were all nationally ranked. And so basically when we moved to Huntington, we started playing varsity right away. And then our best tennis was after that. So you get stuck playing guys that are nationally ranked and have rankings, you're going to get better right away.
Yeah.
So that was us.
You're right. You get thrown in the deep end of the pool, it's sink or swim, right?
Yes, that's for sure.
How about in college? Did you decide, hey, I want to play, I want to keep playing in college?
Yes, I was either going to be a doctor, tennis pro, and I went to UC Irvine. I was in pre-med, and so was my twin brother, and I was number 10 on the team, and I didn't want to be sour grapes or have kids take this the wrong way, but I knew they were recruiting and for the next year, and I knew who was coming in, and I knew who was leaving, and it wasn't one of those things because I wasn't a hard worker. It's just, here's the facts of life. These guys are coming in. So I transferred over to Golden West College, and back then, junior college tennis in Southern California before Title IX was just really, really hard, and that was a great junior college tennis was the best. And then we transferred and we're headed to TCU and got scholarships, and something happened to our scholarships. My twin brother played. And then when I was going to go back the next year, they go, whoops, you're a pro. And I go, what do you mean? And I go, I haven't played on TV or anything. And they go, no, you worked for the recreation department and you made this much money because you have to turn your financials in for FAFSA.
Oh, geez.
They go, you made too much money and that makes you a pro. And so then I didn't finish my college career playing tennis.
That had to be a disappointment.
Yeah, I actually, both my brothers graduated and I'm finishing college right now. And so I'm going to be taking some classes here at Cal State Fullerton. It's kind of slow because I have to do them online. So, but my goal and back then was I wanted to go to Wimbledon.
Yeah.
And I didn't make it as a player, but I coached two kids that I brought up I took one of them there. And so two of my kids made it to Wimbledon and to me, and I got to go. And that was a fun trip.
Kirk Orr joining us, the head tennis coach at J. Sarah High School. Obviously, and that's a lesson for kids, because at some point for most people, obviously for the legends of any sport, they never get to that point. But for most of us, we get to a point where we're not good enough to make that next, jump anymore. At what point did you realize, hey, I'm not going to be the pro I thought I might be or I dreamed about being? And what was your next step from that point?
Well, there was a couple guys that I beat. My best win in college, a guy did go to junior Wimbledon. No, I played in the juniors, was going to Wimbledon, and it's, oh, I can beat that guy. And I did beat him. So it's like when you're golfing and you make that one good shot, it's what keeps you from coming back.
Right.
But pretty soon you just look at the guys in your area that you can't beat, and then you magnify that across the country and then the world and just go, well, I'm ranked here. There's no way. I mean, it's just a fact of life, like you said.
Right.
But my dream was to go there, and I went there as a coach, and so that was fun.
Yeah. When did coaching come into the picture for you?
I just always like coaching. I love football. I actually love football was my first sport, and the guys that I liked at school, my teachers that I liked were coaches, my mentors, and I never really thought I'd be coaching high school tennis, and I wasn't initially. I was just a tennis pro. And got a good job, but the high school, junior high school and high school coaches that I had were just the greatest guys and had good role models, and so I figured I could make that transition and help kids out.
Yeah, I was going to say, because, getting a job at a good club as a tennis pro, that could be a lucrative deal into itself, right?
Yeah, I was lucky. I was at the same place just started my 17th year, and then moved over to Colorado to open up a resort over there. And that was, the work that I did there was really good. And then when I came back, I had met Mr. Hartigan over at in Colorado at a football camp. And when I came back here, he asked me to run the boys and the girls here at J. Sarah, and I've been here for 10 years.
Wow, that's really something. And obviously you enjoy it, or you wouldn't have spent 10 years at J. Sarah. It's a special place, as we both know.
No, it's a great family situation. And as far as tennis and coaching tennis, I've never really woke up in the morning and wished I didn't have to go to work. And yeah. I don't think there's a lot of people that can say that.
It's so true. When you get to do something you love, right, it never feels like work. It feels like going to have fun every single day. And obviously you're helping to shape now the next Kirk Orrhoods, the next kids that are going to come up, right? I mean, that's got to be rewarding itself.
No, I want that. I want to go back to Wimbledon. So I have earned my way by making a kid good enough to get there. So I'm still trying to do that.
So how do the 2018 Lions look? How's your team shaping up this year?
Well, we lost, I don't know if you know, we lost CIF last year.
Right.
Division 3.
Yes.
About 9-9 total games, 5 games, and I don't think I've slept right since. I lost my number one player, who actually got a pretty good deal to go to Holy Cross, Rudy School, next to Notre Dame. But I do have a freshman boy that can replace him that's probably one of the best guys I've ever coached. He'll be a D1 guy. I mean, he's phenomenal. He's a big time. And his family is a big supporter of J. Sarah. His sister went here. He was on the UCLA team, and I'm fortunate to have him for the next 4 years. So, and I have my doubles team still intact, my two top team doubles teams, which were the number one and two seeds in Trinity last year. So we're looking good. I'm excited.
Yeah, as you handicap the rest of the Trinity League, I mean, what are the other teams you need to look out for when you get into league?
Well, I hate to say this, but we've never beat Santa Margarita.
Mm.
So that's a goal that's right there. I circle that every year after we lose to them. It's circled on my yearly calendar in blue. And so that'll be a big match. And my number one player, who's a freshman, his cousin, who they're very tight, very good friends, he's one of the top players at Santa Margarita. So it's going to be an interesting match this year.
Now, I look at the list of coaches there at J. Sarah, and I see two other Orrhoods. Talk about this being a family deal there at J. Sarah.
Well, my other brother's not here, but my twin brother's been with me since we started, and I was allowed to hire him. And he's really good with large groups, and his organization. We have 77 girls on our team and 42 boys, so, and we only have 6 courts. So the way he set stuff up, the way we run our teams, and I've been doing my challenge matches the same, whether I was at country clubs or whatever, for 20 years. So I've never had any problems with them because our sport is objective, not subjective, as far as playing time. Yeah, I'd have a hard time doing this job without my brother, my brother.
Well, Coach, we want to wish you luck this season again. We're not going to say beat Santa Margarita, but see if you can get him maybe this year, right?
Yeah. All right. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Coach. We appreciate it. That's Kirk Orahood, the head tennis coach over at J. Sarah High School. I want to thank all my guests this week, Paul Westfall, Sean Zeitler, Les Lukacs, and Kirk Orahood. And if you want to listen back to this show or any of the others we've produced here at Catholic Sports, if you simply log on to OCCatholic.com/radio, just click on our icon right there, and you can get all the podcasts that are archived right there on the website. Thanks again for joining us this week. I am Bob Gibson, and we will talk to you next week right here on Catholic Sports View, where athletics meets faith.